Hey, welcome to a special post-trade deadline episode of the Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker. Bob, the trade deadline in any sport is basically my favorite time of any sport.
Oh, yeah. Or right before it when they're coming up with, when all the rumors are swirling.
Yeah.
And if you work in the media, in sports, you have to come up with at least 15 trade rumors or else you lose your job.
Yeah, that's, I think that is the golden rule. Peter Vesey in the 90s was always on top of fake rumors.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's like Chris Broussard and Stephen A. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Wojnarowski, though, is, well, Woj is the king.
Yeah, he's the king, but usually everything he doesn't fake any, or he doesn't come up with any maybe trades. It's always legitimate stuff.
Oh, yeah, like Kevin Durant to the Warriors. Yeah.
yeah, you know, like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of trades in the rumor mill, and I think we should just get right into them. Some of them not totally expected. You know, I know there's a lot going on right now in February between the political race and the People versus O.J. Simpson, great TV show going on. We're halfway through it. And a lot of trade rumors swirled around. Let's just get right into them. I heard one about the Tea Party.
Yeah.
The Republican branch. They had a godfather offer for Ted Cruz of 5 racist cops, an autographed Ayn Rand first edition of Anthem, and Michelle Bachmann. The GOP turned it down. They're keeping Ted Cruz.
They're keeping.
It was a good offer, though. Surprise. It was similar to the Celtics offering 6 draft picks for Justice Winslow.
Bob, did you hear about the black people offer white people OJ and Bill Cosby for Bernie Madoff and Donald Sterling?
Whoa.
Because they're both sick of the stereotypes and they just wanted to consider shaking up the rosters a bit. Did you hear that one?
Oh, man, I hadn't heard that one, but that's a good one. That is controversial.
You know what? I think both sides would win in that one. It's you're just kind of trading each other some stuff.
Just some new knuckleheads? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard the American people, they offered Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton for Al Gore and a cardboard cutout of Ronald Reagan. American people don't get what they want, though. It's all the delegates' decision.
Yeah, yeah. It's all the delegates' decision. You know, this one, this is an old vet trying to get a little younger, old team. Coke, their old roster, they've been around forever. They're trying to get a little younger. They offered Coke for Pepsi, Sierra Mist, and a second round draft pick.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be hard to trade, though.
Sierra Mist is no Sprite, in my opinion. but you know what? If they, who knows? Who knows? Kids, Pepsi's a little younger, I think. They're trying to.
Generation Next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kanye called Jay-Z. He offered Kim, Chloe, and Courtney in a salary dump for Beyonce, and Hova hung up on him.
You can't even entertain that one. That's an Insta hang up right there. Al Jazeera, remember Al Jazeera's kind of on the way out. So MSNBC saw an opportunity, and they offered CNN Chris Matthews and the rights to Al Jazeera to kind of, you know, see if it would change it up a little bit, change the scenery, for Anderson Cooper.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think CNN's official response to that was, please don't ever talk to us ever again.
Burger King is losing a lot of market share these days.
Right.
They even started doing deliveries in Los Angeles trying to get some new cash going.
Amazing.
They're looking to change their roster. They're looking to change their superstar. This kind of reminded me of Blake Griffin trade rumors.
Mm-hmm.
They offered the Whopper to McDonald's.
Oof.
In exchange for the McRib. And McDonald's countered with a McFlurry and go fuck yourself. Also, the McRib is back for a limited time only at McDonald's.
The McRib is too valuable. That's way too valuable a thing. So the Lakers, they contacted the Cavs about LeBron James.
Oh,
but it wasn't actually to get LeBron to play on the team. The trade was something revolving around LeBron James coming in to work on a consulting basis. They just wanted someone to come in and fire their coach.
Oh,
that's all they wanted, Bob. They were offering a whole bunch of money, not for him to play, just to come in and rattle some cages.
All right. Well, the coffee maker's done. Man, that kind of reminds me of like George Clooney in Up in the Air, huh?
He just fly in to fire
the guy.
Yeah.
Professional firer.
LeBron would just put the packet on the table and slide it across. And
you know, the way the Brooklyn Nets were pursuing the Spurs assistant GM, Sean Marks,
mm-hmm.
it kind of made me think of the comparison about how the San Antonio Spurs are really the Game of Thrones of the NBA.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, everybody in Game of Thrones, all the actors and everything, are all going on to do Star Wars, action movies, get their own TV shows.
Right.
The Dario Naharis guy is the new Transporter. You know, everyone's trying to just get a little bit of fire from that mm-hmm. franchise and maybe light the campfire on their own. And it took so much that Sean Marks, he turned down the offer reportedly from the Nets, but
with good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they came in and must have offered more money at the last minute, but there was a tweet that was sent out right after Sean Marks first was reported that he had turned down the job, and it was about the Nets' new practice facility, which is in Brooklyn. And so it was like the headline was Sean Marks turns down the Nets job, and the Nets tweeted about how if their players ever need a haircut, there's a barber on site at the new practice
wow.
facility.
Okay.
So something to shoot for. I mean, something good going when they don't have a GM.
Yeah, you really, that's worth it. I mean, they don't have draft picks for the next 50 years, but you know, at least you can get haircuts.
Yeah, he actually came in, and his first move was to waive Andrea Bargnani.
Yeah, well, I really did like that his first day was the trade deadline. I thought that was great. It was
yeah.
a perfect.
He had like 3 hours to make a deal.
Yeah, so he was, in my mind, he was just sitting there, just furiously offering Brooke Lopez and Thad Young to everyone. Just, I need some picks. I need something. My buddy Aaron and I were talking about the whole week leading up that the Suns should seriously try and get the Nets to trade Joe Johnson to Phoenix for Brandon Knight, Markieff Morris, and Tyson Chandler, just because Markieff and Brandon Knight are under the age of 25,
yeah.
and that would provide some youth to the Nets, because they're not going to get anyone to sign there for a few years. They have no draft picks. So
if Joe Johnson played for Kentucky, I might have bought that trade.
Well, he was in Arkansas, so that's close, but you know, not that close.
Did you see the leak that came out of the Phoenix Suns locker room? It was their call list. You know, GMs are making a lot of calls, obviously,
yeah.
leading up to the trade deadline, but there was some people on that list that I thought you might be interested to hear about. Maybe they were willing to just take anybody for Markieff Morris there at the end.
With good reason.
They finally made a pretty good deal for him, but here's some of the people they called before they got Washington on the phone. They called and saw if Jeb Bush was available, you know?
Well, he is now.
He is now. He is a lesser brother. You know, the Suns like their brothers of the less popular, less successful variety.
Well, this was shown because George W. started campaigning for Jeb. And think what you want about George W. and all his politics. When you put George W. and Jeb on the same stage, you realize how far and away more charismatic George W. is than Jeb.
Yeah.
Like, it just stands, like, you realize, like... that's why I think politics aside, I thought that was a bad move for Jeb, just because they're like, oh wait, this guy isn't that guy.
George W. is better, and we hated him.
Yeah,
man,
he's much more relatable and actually makes us kind of smile, and Jeb is just kind of Jeb.
The Suns also called Julian and Joaquin Castro, see if they were available. They're having a pretty busy year though. They called Casey Affleck.
Oh, man.
Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah, Donnie was too busy getting ready to endorse Marco Rubio.
Ooh, okay.
He got the Wahlberg. As someone as someone tweeted out this morning, it apparently Rubio got that Wahlberg endorsement because Rubio has the right stuff.
Ooh.
Anybody? Anybody? Is this thing on?
Have you ever heard of Rooster McConaughey?
Sure.
That's actually Matthew McConaughey's brother, who's the star of a reality show that is essentially like the redneck version of Shark Tank. I think it's called Texas Investors Club or something like that.
He's trying to get the Dallas Buyers Club momentum.
Phoenix Suns called Rooster. They also called Kieran and Rory Culkin of Macaulay's little brothers. Daniel William and Stephen Baldwin were on the call list. This is an embarrassing call list Phoenix.
This might be where they, why they're so off.
But, you know, the one smart call I thought they made was looking to around for a possible fill-in for their new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that call went to none other than Ashley Judd. She's a big Kentucky yeah. fan.
If anyone
and the boys all know her.
If anyone can get these Kentucky boys in line. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Phoenix Suns, man. Just go for some only childs for once, yeah. You know.
Something. Well, they can go for siblings, but make sure that the guy they're going after just has sisters or something.
Yeah.
You know? Big fan of the Markieff Morris trade, Bob.
Yeah.
As you could imagine.
Right.
Obviously, getting him off the team. I would have. If they traded him for a second-round draft pick, I would have been completely fine with that.
And
seriously.
And Rooster McConaughey.
Yeah, a second-round draft pick and Rooster McConaughey. Oh, that's good. They got the first-round draft pick this year that is top nine protected, so they could essentially have another lottery pick. They traded Markieff, a problem, for a potential lottery pick.
That's true.
And it's not one of those picks that is protected if it's in the entire lottery. It's only protected 1 through 9. So the Wizards, who it's going to be a decent pick, because even if they go to the playoffs, they're going to be an 8 or 7 seed. So
let's not overlook the fact they got Kim Kardashian's ex-husband.
Oh yeah, man. No. He did you see his first game on the Suns?
No.
It's like it was something. I'll look it up here. It was something like 20 and 15 or something. Like he.
Oh okay. I thought you were going to say he took some selfies with duck lips or something.
Oh, yeah, that's just, you know, par for the course. I might have...
Humphries being Chris Humphries.
Yeah. I might have overshot that 20 and 15, but it was really good.
You know, an actual trade rumor that I heard that I thought was pretty funny was the Rockets were rumored to be shopping Ty Lawson for Trey Burke.
Yeah.
And apparently the Jazz had really been doing their due diligence on Lawson, not just on scouting his game, but also scouting, you know, from a legal perspective where he's at, because he's had the DUIs and the drinking problems.
Right.
But the thing that didn't really add up with Lawson going to the Jazz was a guy with a history of drinking going to an organization run by people who do not drink. That trade didn't go through, well, so we don't get to see the hilarity that might have ensued there.
Well, I thought it was a fairly good idea because, you know, legally the alcohol content in beers in Utah is less than throughout the nation.
Ty Lawson might have gone sober if he moved to Salt Lake.
I thought that was a fair deal.
or turned to harder stuff.
Yeah. Well, Utah was offering both the Burke and Burks combo in full trades to people. For Jeff Teague, I think, one of them.
What's the deal with... Oh my gosh, Matt. So the Sacramento Kings have to be like pretty much a segment on every one of the podcasts we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've been following their controversial decision to not fire George Karl on the last week's episode, right? So this past week, rather than fire Karl, they fired his assistant. It was a Vlade Divac's call his name. He's actually a Wahlberg himself, Vance Wahlberg, who's had the longtime ties to Karl. According to two people with knowledge of the situation, there were concerns about Wahlberg's relationship with the team's players as a major concern. And I guess he also had friction with assistant coach Nancy Lieberman.
Yeah.
Anyways, apparently this did not make George Karl very happy.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought,
what does, though?
What if the Kings changed their strategy? Instead of trying to fire George Karl, they decided to come up with ways to get him to quit.
Is that like a trading places type thing? Are they trying sort of? No, I'm trying to think of something else.
Right after the trade deadline, the Kings played the Nuggets. And it's kind of funny there because their coach, the Nuggets, are coached by the Kings' former coach,
right,
Mike Malone, who said before the game that Vivek never contacted him after he was fired.
Sweet.
Until Thursday before the game, and he texted him. He sent him a text.
Sweet. So you say you're fired?
Yeah, no hard feelings, right? Yeah. Go easy on us tonight.
I thought you were going to say Vivek didn't talk to him. He sent his army of fifth grade basketball playing girls to go to go deliver the news.
Full court press.
Yeah,
the Kings ended up winning that game behind 37 points from Boogie. Another thing that really made me wonder whether George Karl was on the way out, though, is the Kings have followed in the footsteps of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Phoenix Suns in that they were on Instagram photoed going bowling together.
Gosh, the classic bowling.
Bowling before death.
Yeah, that is really the way to, you know, rally the troops.
Oh, also, Vlade Divac went to Vivek Ranadive the other day and suggested that maybe they hire a general manager because he's been, quote, overwhelmed.
He's not the general manager? Is he the president of basketball operations?
Quite vague. I think that what he asked for in a perfect world was that he would go from being GM/president to just president.
Yeah.
So he would still be the highest person in the totem pole, but his understanding of the collective bargaining agreement and trade rights, the details of the salary cap, are a little above Vlade Divac's pay grade.
That's fair. I mean, that good on him for admitting that. Another team I can't understand why they do what they do was the Magic.
Yeah.
Trading Tobias Harris for Brandon Jennings and Ilyasova.
Yeah, and even worse, I had written this down as one of the most ridiculous trade rumors before it actually went down.
Yeah.
That the Cleveland Cavs would call the Magic and offer Varejao for Fry, and the Magic would just laugh and hang up on them.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
No, that's basically what happened.
They went for it.
But not only that, they didn't even get Varejao. They got Jared Cunningham and a future second-round pick.
Right.
Varejao went to the Blazers.
Who promptly cut him.
Is Varejao in a first-round pick to Portland? So Orlando could have at least maybe got a first-round pick out of that.
Nuts.
They didn't get any picks for Tobias Harris after the Suns got one for Markieff Morris and the Rockets got one for Monte Ellis.
The freaking Grizzlies got one for Lance Stephenson. The Clippers traded away a first-round draft pick just to get rid of Lance.
I think Van Gundy got over big.
Van Gundy did do very well.
Yeah. This is the third straight year Marcus Thornton has been traded at the deadline. So good for him.
Yeah, I definitely expected the Rockets to trade either Demo or Terrence Jones.
Well, yeah, because you have to get something.
You know, I saw a real funny tweet from Jason Concepcion, who goes by Network on Twitter.
Yeah.
He was talking about Doc Rivers trading Lance Stephenson for Jeff Green. And he said, a trade deadline without Doc Rivers acquiring an ex-Celtic is like a Willie Nelson concert with no Whiskey River. It's just out of control with him trading for ex-Celtics at this point. It's six of them now.
Bjorn, who was on the podcast, texted me that ESPN was talking about how much Doc Rivers loves former players and former people he worked with. And while they were talking about that, they ended up breaking the news that Jeff Green was going to Clippers. So they... Yeah, it's insane.
So the Grizzlies made a few different trades, and I saw a Mike Conley quote saying that this current iteration of the team is now calling themselves the Goon Squad. Here are some players on the Memphis Grizzlies right now. Tony Allen, Lance Stephenson, Matt Barnes, PJ Hairston, who they just traded for from Charlotte, who's, you know, had a few of his Morris Brothers fights himself.
Right, yeah.
Then they also just traded for Chris Birdman Anderson.
Yeah.
And they also have Zach Randolph.
Yeah, when I was saying that they, the Grizzlies should blow it up and start over, this isn't what I meant.
They're starting an MMA team in Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I guess we can look at the contracts and maybe this is just a temporary thing. Like, maybe these contracts don't last very long, so might as well. And getting that pick from, sure, get that pick from the Clippers, if, sure, that will help at some
point. That
was
a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to definitely cut Lance Stephenson after this season, unless he shows him something in the next 25 games.
Maybe he'll just blow in some ears and get another deal again.
Yeah, Randy Foy said that he found out about being traded on the NBA app on his phone.
Really?
A notification on his phone.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's so funny.
You know, a lot of the players got shopped around, got shopped a bunch, mm-hmm. and then were not traded.
That's
got
to be weird.
Yeah, and then they had to come back home, right, mm-hmm. and play for the team that obviously is trying to get rid of them and failed. Hassan Whiteside came back strong after the trade deadline, after serving a one-game suspension, and put up 25 points and 23 rebounds.
Yeah, I saw that.
He was interviewed
about...
He smells
that money.
Yeah, he was interviewed about a suspension, and he said, I made a mistake. I know actions like that kill my career. It hurt me a lot. And I was reading between the lines of that quote.
Sure.
I think it was essentially just like, yeah, please forgive me. Don't make this cost my next contract like $25 million.
Yeah.
Oh, another crazy thing I saw about Whiteside. He's a 50% free throw shooter, one of the shitty free throw shooting big men.
Yeah.
He is now shooting his free throws in a catch and shoot style.
So he just gets it and goes.
Yeah. As soon as the ref throws it to him, he shoots it. He said, quote, in practice, I can knock down at least 30 straight of those, so if I can do that in practice, why not try it in a game, you know? If he's going to shoot 50% anyways, might as well try something new.
Sure.
And just like the 15 games he's been doing this, he's went from 50 to 54%. It is an improvement.
Yeah, that's like an extra point or two a game.
Yeah, he said, quote, which also made sense to me, that... quote, it takes a lot of mental aspect out of it. It's just shooting. I shoot so quickly that it takes the pressure off me. I get my hand settled, take one step, and shoot it.
Sure. Rhythm, kind of rhythm shots.
As opposed to Dwight Howard, who's sitting there, and apparently what he told the LA Times when he was playing for the Lakers was, every time he's shooting a free throw, he's thinking, how many people in the building and watching on TV are going to be disappointed when he missed it? Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dwight Howard is another one of these players that was shopped around endlessly, only to come back hanging his head to the Rockets bench. And his first game back against Phoenix, it was a blowout win, granted, but he had 15.6 rebounds. Pretty par for the course of him coasting through this contract year.
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen with Dwight now, Matt?
I don't know. I think the more they were talking about trading him, the more I thought they should just do it. Just get it over with.
Yeah, it felt like the longer they were talking about trading him and they were not trading him,
yeah,
it was like the more teams started to think, oh, why is no one jumping at this opportunity?
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't either.
I mean, maybe the Rockets were asking too much. I don't know. I just don't. He's going to be a $25 million headache for the rest of that contract that he's going to sign this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
$30 to $40
million, actually. I thought that the Nets were going to be a prime target to potentially sign him.
Yeah.
But that was before they hired a Spur to run their front office.
So now you're saying they're actually going to know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. They would stay away from that. They wouldn't touch that with a 200-foot pole.
Yeah. We get so lost in names that you're right. He is coasting. You would think that this would be the year, if it is a contract year, that the fire would be there and he would just dominate.
Someone should tell him. Pau Gasol was another guy who was shopped around a bunch, ended up back on the Bulls. And the Bulls GM came out quickly on Thursday and said, Pau is going to be a big part of the Chicago Bulls' long-term plans. He's obviously trying to save some face with Pau, kind of awkwardly smooth things over.
Right.
But for how long? For the next, like, 45 days until they, you know, either offer him a new contract or they don't. And I'm guessing they don't.
No.
Or they offer him something where he's going to take something much better somewhere else.
Basically, Nostradamus.
Anderson Varejão is now a favorite to sign with the Golden State Warriors. Have you heard this?
Oh, yeah. I before the trade deadline and when all that Varejão talk was going on, I said that he should just, if he gets traded and cut, he should sign with the Warriors just to beat the Cavs.
I've got to think that at this point, you know, if you're a Golden State Warrior assistant coach, like, you know all the Cavs plays. You're studied them. You know pretty much everything there is to know on the basketball court about right. the Cavs, right? And from what I've read about this signing with the Warriors, they don't really intend to play him.
No.
So it got me thinking, if you had to put a dollar amount on the inside info that Varejão could give Draymond Green of, you know, insider stuff that Draymond can use in shit-talking the Cavs and getting under their skin and, like, inside their mind.
Yeah.
I could see $1.5 million or whatever they're going to offer Varejão being worth
sure.
that.
Sure, yeah.
Get Draymond inside LeBron's head. That could guarantee another championship or two.
The 1.5 that you... Right, the 1.5 that you would pay would be returned tenfold with championship yeah. merchandise. Yeah.
If they made LeBron James cry, my God, that's probably worth $20 million.
Yeah.
So we got to mention the Warriors' loss and the segment I'm calling the All-Star Snubs Revenge from Thursday night.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard broke a record for the fastest 50 points ever scored in an NBA game.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, you know, I went to the Spurs-Clippers game on Thursday night. It was one of the first games after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
After like 9 minutes into the game, the score was something like 8-5. Like, both teams were bricking shots. Chris Paul missed two or three layups in the first quarter. They just all looked kind of hungover and out of it, you know, coming off the now extended long All-Star break.
Uh-huh.
And the Warriors kind of looked that way, too, when they were playing against the Thunder or the Trailblazers on Friday night. But one guy who I bet spent his entire All-Star break in the gym was Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah.
And he knew that he was playing against the Warriors as soon as they got back from that All-Star break. And I bet you he was in the gym like a crazy Kobe-level psycho, just like playing against invisible Stephen Clay's, you know,
right.
plotting his plan to annihilate them as soon as he had an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he scored 50 points in 31 minutes, 6 seconds, which breaks the record previously held by Kobe of 31 minutes, 20 seconds. So within 14 seconds faster than Kobe. And another crazy stat, he's the first player to have 50-plus points, 6-plus steals, and 64% field goal shooting or better since Michael Jordan versus the Pistons in March 1996.
So he was fairly upset, is what you're saying.
It was a career best for Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
And I bet you he's an All-Star next year, too.
If he's not, then watch out.
Game of the Week.
Next Saturday, in this new ABC primetime, the Warriors are taking on the Thunder. And since there's really only 4 title contenders this season, you know, games between 2 of them are kind of rare.
Yeah.
But that should be a good one. Yeah, last night in the ABC primetime game, the Clippers played the Warriors and they went on a 13-0 run to end the game. In the last 99 seconds, and they were down 16 and, you know, almost came back. They even had an attempt at the buzzer to try and tie the game to send it to overtime, but missed it. It kind of reminded me that I was there and just waiting for the Clippers to come back, you know, maybe in around the third quarter they got it to within 6 points, but the Warriors just kept keeping the cushion between them around 10, 12, 15 points the whole game.
Right.
Then this run right at the end reminded me of of when I'm on a conference call and there'll be some guy who just doesn't say anything till the end of the conference call.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we're all just like, okay, well, that's been a nice call. You guys all have a good night. We'll talk to you later. And then this guy comes out of nowhere and is just like, well, I think we should talk about this and that. You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, you might have something valuable to say, but the call is already over,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we're all done.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Exactly what happened. And Prigioni apparently can shoot. I've never seen him shoot before, but he made like 3 3-pointers.
He can only do it once a year, Bob, and you saw it.
Yo mama is so fat.
John Wall called out Wizards fans saying they were more excited for a free chicken sandwich than a team win.
Maybe it's true.
I don't know what their chicken sandwich promo was. You know, the Clippers have a thing where you get a free Burger King sausage biscuit if they score 100 points,
yeah,
which they normally do. But my favorite foul-related promo, I know UCLA does it and a lot of other teams do it too, where it's the fans all get, you know, free sandwich or, you know, hot wings or whatever it is if an opposing player misses both free throws.
Right.
Because that actually gives the fans incentive to go crazy and affect the outcome of the game.
UCLA, you know, did that, right?
Yeah. They did it when we went and saw them versus Kentucky.
Right.
And the crowd went freaking nuts when Labrizi Zazize, you know, missed his second free throw.
Yeah.
It was great. I have actually 3 disses of the week, though, this week, Matt. So, you know, Carmelo Anthony was pretty annoyed through the whole trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there was a rumor, he'd just be like, you know, shrug it off, kind of ignore the rumors.
Uh-huh.
But actually, someone told him just the other day the Knicks were signing somebody. And he perked up. I guess he hadn't heard this before. And he was like, oh, yeah, who are we getting?
Who'd they get?
And they told him it's Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, yes.
And Carmelo's response was,
Oh.
Kind of a subtle diss of the week there.
Oh. So someone who wants to take all the shots Carmelo wants to take, too? Are there enough shots?
Yeah. And no defense? He's the white Melo.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant dislocated his middle finger in a game the other night. And just the guy is ice cold, man. He walked off the court, walked up to the Lakers trainer, Gary Vee, and Vee popped it back into place. You can see him kind of shaking, reacting to it. And then he just turns around and walks right back on the court and keeps playing. But the diss of the week was in the post-game press conference, Kobe raised his injured middle finger to the room of media and said, this is probably the only time I could sit here like this at a press conference.
Yeah, that's good. You got to take advantage of those opportunities when you get them.
On the next episode of Brick House.
The George Karl thing, we were trying to figure out what the Kings trying to get George Karl to quit reminds us of.
Yeah.
On the next episode, I think we could get into it. I'm thinking that it reminds me of the episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza fakes being handicapped and gets the nice office at Play Now with the private bathroom and everything. But then when they discover that he is actually faking handicapped, you know, they try to do a buyout with him because he's signed a 1-year contract.
Right.
But George gets the whole contract if he just goes into work for the next year. So the Play Now people try and do whatever they can to get him to quit.
Yes.
They turn his private bathroom into a public bathroom, and they board up the door to his office so he has to crawl in through the air ducts and stuff. I can't believe we never made this comparison before. I mean, they're both bald guys named George, for God's sakes. But we'll follow how this story unfolds, Matt. And we'll tell you all about it on the next episode of Brick House.
Thank you.